Welcome to Millwork Conversations presented by Google. Millwork Conversations is a monthly gathering point for Omaha's creators, innovators, artists, thought leaders, and activators with a focus on new ideas and what's possible. Let's chat. So grateful to Google for helping us present this great programming every single month. Let's give them a quick round of applause real quick. Beth was on it. See, Beth is warming you up so that when they're talking here in a few minutes, you guys will interact with them, because this is a nice, cozy environment, and we love to have interaction, feedback. When you're talking, it's nice to know that the audience is engaged with you, so feel free to do that in this space. But we are very excited to be here in Millwork. As you know, the weather, well, it's trying to get warmer, I think, and hopefully we'll stay that way, but that means there's all kinds of events coming up all the time. So there was a list running before the event, but you can always follow us on social or sign up for our newsletter to stay up to date with all things Millwork, because it's just becoming more and more and more. But if you didn't know, there's a lot of great things going on all day down here from our resident businesses, whether you want a beer or lunch at Cross Train or coffee, or you just want to hang out all day long and have every meeting here. It's a great spot to do that. So come and join us anytime. Set up your next meeting here with your friends. It'll be great. But I'm going to stop talking because you're not really here to hear from me. I don't usually do a whole lot in the way of bios, but I'll go ahead and welcome Jeff and Beth over here to get settled. But Jeff Slobotsky is our Millwork Conversations host. He's a pro. He's been a big part of kind of helping develop the ecosystem down here at Millwork. And then I won't tell you a whole lot about Beth. You may already know some, but they're really going to get into who she is, what she does in the conversation. So one more time, let's give it a big round of applause for Jeff and Beth.
Thank you, Natalie. Awesome. Beth, great to see you. Thank you for carving out time today and meet with our group that we've got here today and the folks that'll listen on the podcast as well. So
happy to be here. Happy to share.
Excellent. Good. Well, before we dive into Saving Grace, I'd like just to hear a little bit about, more about you, kind of your background, your bio, and we'll kind of transition into Saving Grace and the work you're doing today. But for folks that don't know you, kind of what's your backstory? How'd you get to where you are?
My backstory. Well, I'm the middle of 11 children, very middle. So I say I'm the one that's not spoiled, but I don't know, my siblings may argue with that.
Okay.
Born in Geneva, Nebraska, grew up in South Omaha. Had great working class and ethics and all that stuff in our family. Everyone became very successful in their own right. We just had a gathering this last weekend for my brother's birthday, so that was great. I was in the travel industry over 25 years. I was a travel agent, and then I ended up overseeing one office, then four offices. Kind of grew into the management and running a business atmosphere. I was in that thinking I would be in it the rest of my life, and then things changed, and I ended up then running a program for Jerry Hoberman, which was called the Winner's Circle Program, which was running a goal-setting and rewards program for inner-city elementary schools. So when I came on, we had four schools, and then took it up to 12 schools. It then merged with all our kids to become Partnership for Kids. So I was there a couple of years, and then it was like one day, it's like, what doesn't fit in this picture? And it was me. So now what am I going to do? You know,
that's good.
It's kind of tough at that stage of life, but, you know, it kind of keeps you renewed. And so I saw something like a perishable food rescue down in Arizona, where my sister and my daughter live, and my sister's friend was running it. So I kind of researched it for about a year and a half, and then I took the leap of faith and started it here, even though people said, you can't do that, it's illegal, and so forth, but we proved them wrong.
And congrats, by the way, for proving them wrong and starting and pushing forward. No, seriously, right? It's a lot of times, I think, you know, maybe here in the Midwest, too, it's harder to push forth an idea or a concept, right, as bold as what you've done with Saving Grace. I like, when I was doing a little bit of reading, background reading on you, you had a quote. No, this is good. You had a quote that said...
I never remember what I say.
That's okay. I sometimes have the same problem, so it's good. Everything you do helps prepare you for the next role, right? It was this idea, and
yeah,
so I think hindsight's 2020. You look back, you say, sure, yeah, everything lined up perfectly, but I love that. I love that comment. And you kind of look through your history and your experience, and it all does lead to where you are today and the role you're in.
And I say that to like my nieces and nephews and anyone. You know, it's like I didn't even know like the Winter Circle or those types of things happened. I didn't know anything like this happened. You know, it's like keeping open to the mystery of what's to come and using what experiences and the relationships you build as you move forward.
That's good. That's good. So let's get in a little bit about the work you're doing at Saving Grace. So 10 years in, correct?
It'll be 10 years of I did leave. It was 10 years ago that I started in March, but it was just me. And then Judy from down at the organization in Arizona, I brought her on here. Turned out her mother lived here, so that worked out nice. And then we started operations September 30th. So we'll have our 10-year celebration of operations here in September. Congrats. Stay tuned. We're going to do something fun.
Congrats. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And talk with folks if they aren't familiar with Saving Grace, maybe, again, what the work that you're doing. I've seen the trucks around town. You hosted a great lunch and learn here in Millwork, I think last year. Mm-hmm. We had a great community. But, man, the impact that you've had just on the food system, I'd say, in the community it blew me away. Right, in terms of, so maybe just give us a little background on Saving Grace, kind of.
So, as I learn things, and I'm always learning, it's like, well, I didn't know that. I think other people want to know. When you find out that 35 to 40% of food produced ends up in the landfill, and here I've just been working with all these kidlets, you know, and I worked in other programs that don't have enough food, it just doesn't make sense, right? So, we are basically a distribution and logistics operation to capture excess perishable food and redistribute it same day, no warehousing, to nonprofits that can use it. It's pantries, shelters, after-school programs, senior centers, even One World Health. They had called us early on and said, you're delivering great healthy food. Will you bring us some if we open a pantry? Because that's part of their medicine, right? And so we started a nice relationship there, too.
That's what have you seen over the course of 10 years that's been, well, I'll start with encouraging by the Omaha community, right? And then on the flip side, where do you think we still have a long way to go as a community, right, when it comes to the issues and the work you're doing around food insecurity?
Well, you know, when I first would go out to a lot of places, we started out with 3 food donors, and we took it to 3 pantries. I would go into different places, say, I always used La Vista Convention Center. They do huge events. And I know when I went in there early on, they said, no, they couldn't do it. So part of it has been trying to change the culture about the wasted food. So I was at everything. You know, some of my friends have started organizations, too. And you just have to get out in front of everyone. And after about a year, they called us. And they said that they had people say they would not sign a contract unless they would donate their excess. That's the movement that we've been trying to start. And that's where our community is a big part of it. So, you know, we brought on a lot of grocery stores, caterers, a lot of great caterers at event centers, some warehouses. Quick Trip was early on. They go out every night and pick up all their excess sandwiches and fruit cups and all that. And they take it to one location, and we were getting at one time between 750 to 1,000 items a week that they had been throwing away before. And people love that stuff. Our friends at North Star, Scott called me one time and said, these kids are running around because he had this container full of strawberries. And he's going, this would have cost $9 at the grocery store. And, you know, he was thrilled because they didn't have that opportunity. And it's like just all this great healthy food, and sometimes it's just they're getting delivered more food or it's getting close to best use by dates, so that's another thing we can chat about in a bit too, rather than expired.
Let's dive into that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's part of the educational piece too, because there's no law on, except for some baby food, on those labels of when food is, it's at its best at that time. So I always say, hey, that's great marketing. They get you to throw it out. Right. Now you go and buy some more. You know, right. We get bigger homes, bigger, right. You know, pantries, bigger refrigerators and freezers. And what do? We fill it up and then we throw it away. So it's pretty crazy. I think it's just, and I've been as guilty too, it's just getting people to think about it more, that labeling, it's back to the taste and sniff test. A lot of that, like eggs, you know, they're a couple weeks after that best use by date, you know? So, yeah. So it's getting more of that information out there,
sure,
because
right.
a big percentage of the food that's wasted is coming from the homes.
And that, yeah, and that. So it's an educational kind of component to it, right? And kind of spreading the word, your work, Nancy's work, No More Empty
yes.
Pots, right? All
so they're great partners. We've
yeah.
been partnering for since we were both like beginning, yes. And in fact, when I first had my older truck, the first one was a used one and it kept breaking down. Well, then we would borrow No More Empty Pots truck, and it wasn't any newer, but if it was running, we were using it. And actually, Randy and I were talking about that just yesterday. Like, that wouldn't work for us now because our loads are so much more.
Sure.
But it is partnerships. It's, you know, learning from each other.
And its legacy, its impact. And so this is where I get excited by your work, Nancy's work, right? A lot of other community partners. But, and I don't know if these stats are still true, the sad stats, I should say, but, you know, around, what is it, 1 in 6 kiddos, 1 in 6 children in Omaha.
May go to bed hungry.
Right, right. And you think about that, and it's like, oh my gosh, like it's
just probably worse now since the pandemic.
Post-pandemic.
There's a lot more.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I think that that's more of a reason for the work that you're doing, and I'm excited to see the scale and the accomplishments that you and the team have had over the last 10 years. And you touched on this a bit, too. So is it education? Is it awareness? Is that kind of what we're lacking at the moment?
So when I started this, our mission was to capture excess perishable food and redistribute it. The other part of it, the other half, which actually comes before, is the awareness and education about, we used to say, food waste and hunger, because I first think you have to make people aware before you can start to educate. Aware
right.
is care, right? But we switched that narrative. One of my board members said this a while ago. We don't call it food waste anymore. We call it wasted food, which is edible. Food
yeah.
waste should be compostable, which is in our friends with Hillside Solutions, right?
Right?
So we don't capture and redistribute trash,
right.
garbage,
right.
and I've never wanted any of that. Early on, different people try to do little diagrams about with the dumpster and all the good food in it. We do not dumpster dive. No one should have to dumpster dive. It should
yeah.
never get in the dumpster. We need to get
good.
It before. I'm a very proactive
yeah.
Thing, absolutely. So we don't have to do as much reactive.
Sure, that's good. Well, and you said too, it's like feeding people or feeding the landfill.
Right, so
right,
the
like,
environmental piece is astronomical.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the methane gas that comes from, okay, you guys probably all know this because we have such an intelligent group here, but who knows how long it can take for one head of lettuce, which if you had Brent here, he does some of the same
yeah.
things, one head of lettuce to decompose in the landfill. Guess. Anyone guess? Throw out a number.
Somebody throw a number out. 3 weeks?
3 weeks? No. Yeah, you are right. It's between 20 to 25 years
yeah.
for one head of lettuce to decompose in landfill because it's yeah. not being turned. It's more on top of each other. You know, it's more trash, more food mm-hmm. on top of each other. And that whole time, it's sending off methane gas. So, you know, the environmental piece and all that, you know, that's, well, I have data, but I don't have it right at the top of my head, on how many car loads it would take.
Mm.
It's way more than all these cars out on the highways. So it's, you know, but even if you're not a big believer in the science of all that, any farmer out creating all this great food, all the energy it takes for them to plant the food, harvest the food, all the water, all the transport to get it in, all this stuff is wasted. Like if you were going, it's like if you went to the grocery store and you bought 5 sacks of groceries, it would be like you going out to the parking lot, dropping 2 in the parking lot, and leaving them there and going off. That's how much we're wasting.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It is, yeah. question from the audience.
I think it's learning what we're going to use, right, and reusing. I love leftovers. I'm not the best at this, but I think it's just, first, it's getting your mind around, you know, because I didn't really think about it before. No. So
if it's not top of mind, you're not thinking about it. Then you don't.
Right.
You can't change behavior. And
you know what's exciting now, though? A few years ago, I tried to do this about with our food donors, because it takes a while to recruit them, right? And because it's an extra step. Mm. But we came up with a food donor certificate emblem that says we donate our food. Not to, through Saving Grace, because we're taking it to all these other places. We don't, if it goes on our truck, it has a home that day. So, and I started putting this, we're rewrapping our trucks with a new, we've updated our branding to show more of the environmental piece. But we, is it up there?
Yeah.
It's up. Do you see it up back there?
Those
so,
in the audience,
we
the
have
bottom,
it on the
right?
back of our trucks, yeah. But also, you know, a few years ago, nobody seemed interested. When we went out to do our food donor surveys and interviewing them recently, they all want them. They want to put them in their windows, our Hy-Vees, Trader Joe's, a lot of our caterers, Greenberg Fruit. He's going to put it in the back of their van windows. It's exciting because they said they're all being asked what they're doing with their excess. And they want to have cards there to tell about what we're doing. So, I mean, as I just said in a recent mailing that I did, we've been planting this seed, and it's starting to bloom. And because it's going to be our community, it's all of you guys going in and saying, hey, what are you doing with it? And it's making it happen.
Yeah, that's good. Questions from the audience at all? Not at the moment. Okay, I have a question.
Hopefully, I have an answer.
What's your next? So you're in it 10 years, right? Kind of what keeps you up at night for Saving Grace? Like, what is short term, long term?
After getting past the pandemic and all the food supplies and that, but everybody had it in their own way.
Yeah.
It's just how to grow. I do believe here in our community, because a lot of communities have a volunteer base that go out in their cars and pick it up. We weren't there yet with our food donors. I think once we get that, but that's a whole nother animal. We can keep increasing on our trucks on the size. We are going to expand, which we had planned to do right before the COVID, is going over to Council Bluffs and what other communities. But also that volunteer base, that they have apps out there that you can do it, and then where we can have volunteers go out and pick up some smaller amounts and take it to places. So it has a whole other component to it, so we probably had to ramp up a bit to get that going, but I think we're very close.
Touch on, we talked about the pandemic, but and I was reading, too, how you transitioned, right, during that. Maybe talk about that experience, kind of going through it and how you...
Well, how we all felt, but, Well, right as it happened, and within the first 2 weeks, we were out like crazy because every place was shutting down. So places that knew us or didn't know us but were referred to us, we ran out and picked up, like, even the casinos and all that stuff. They had to empty their pantries, empty their refrigerators and freezers. So we went and captured all that and found homes for it. Then it was nothing, right? We did have grocery stores, some that were going, but it was very minimal. But then the USDA came out with the farm-to-family food boxes. So I would sit on these calls. The educational system had these Friday morning calls, and I was invited to sit on there, and part of the way in, they start talking about that. Well, a lot of places were wrote grants to get a semi-load of these food boxes every week. So one of them was Catholic Charities down at Juan Diego. There were a lot of places, but the ones that we ended up working with, and Miller Public Schools. So they have this whole semi full of these produce boxes, but they can only use part of it. So what are we? A distribution and logistics operation to transport food. So we would go, and at Miller Public Schools, they all had it at Miller South. We go get those and distribute to 9 different schools 3 days a week. And Catholic Charities, Juan Diego, we would do the same and help distribute those. Miller Public Schools is basically that summer of the first year of the pandemic, but the one through Juan Diego, we did that, I think up in, it kind of started weaning down over the last year, stopped last year. So our numbers were up, but then when that was going down, we were trying to get our food donors back up.
Sure. Have you seen, where are those levels at kind of now?
Yeah, they're coming back because, you know, a lot of the food supply was way down too. It's coming back. We've taken on 11 new food donors, but the numbers are still not quite as high as they once were.
Okay.
But, you know, but if people aren't ordering and they've adjusted their ordering, that's a good thing too. You know, down the road, I like to celebrate all the restaurants that aren't, that are reusing their stuff too. I think that's something to celebrate. We're not asking anyone to create extra. But if you have extra, we want to help capture that.
How, Beth, you kind of going back to maybe your previous experience, you know, through life and now building this organization in Omaha, what has it been like, right? You've seen other communities, you've seen other cities, you know, challenges to building this in Omaha. Has it been easier? I won't say easy. Easy's probably, yeah. The wrong word to use, right?
But well, I was going to ask you, you know, it's kind of like childbirth, but no. You kind of forget. Like, you know, it's just the joy. Maybe that wasn't a good... We are being recorded, right? yeah, it was challenging at first. It was just like, it just needed to happen, you know? And what I am good at is getting great people around me.
Okay. Yeah.
And I've had good people, some that were with me for a long time at the beginning, board members. I always had part-time staff other than my drivers up until 2 years ago. Then I could hire some full-time staff.
Part-time, up until
just
that point.
Part-time, okay. For like in my office and development and all that stuff. So it's just me and drivers and Judy who ran the operations and then part-time people. But a couple of years ago, I started to build that infrastructure a little bit more. But we're kind of lean and mean.
But getting the work done.
Getting the work done.
How many drivers?
Five.
Wow. And how many trucks today?
Five. Well, we have five trucks and a van. One truck isn't going right now. We have it as a backup because I usually have been trading them in when they go out of warranty because you cannot do an extended warranty. So since that first one, I've been buying new.
Okay.
And they take usually 8 months because that's our brick and mortar.
Sure.
You know, we work a lot from home. We have a small admin office. And so we need to have that going. But when they ran out of warranty, then I would trade it in and get a new one. But now the last one took 19 months to come in.
Wow.
And so I decided to keep this last one. So we have it as a backup. And I did just get in a new truck, but we've decided to now, because we take such good care of our trucks, cut off the box and move it over to a new chassis.
Oh, interesting.
And we're going to start doing that for two chassis with the same box as long as we keep it in good, and then rewrap it.
Adapting, thinking out of the box.
Yeah.
That's what you have to do all the time, literally. Yeah. So, Beth, how can we here, and then those that will listen to the podcast, how can we help? How can we support? What are, I mean, there's a litany of things, I'm sure, but as
there
you give
is.
This talk.
You know, we get a lot of people that say they want to volunteer, but right now we don't have a huge volunteer base, but we do have a community engagement committee. We also have some volunteer opportunities when we're at Earth Day, Food Day, in different events. But I think a lot of it is spreading the word. You can sign up on our website for volunteer, and as we have different things that come up, we'll reach out and see how you want to help us.
Okay. And that website's savinggracefoodrescue.org. Did I get that?
Got it, yes.
Perfect. Good. We'll link that up too on the in the social media and everything in between. I guess one last question, and then if there's questions from the audience too, I'd love to entertain those. But where do you get your energy? Where do you get your drive from? What motivates you? I always like
I always
to ask
I don't
leaders
have energy.
This.
Where do I get my energy?
What keeps you going?
Well, kind of like I said, everybody has a purpose and stuff, and so I just know this is what I'm to be doing now.
Okay.
You know,
that's
and
good.
Sometimes those purposes change, but I think it is. I'm passionate about it, and probably that's what keeps me going. Like a little bit earlier, I was like, you know, but now I'm here and I'm excited to talk about it. And the enthusiasm and the the partnerships that we've created, you know, like with Nancy and all of our, but we go to 40 different nonprofits right now, and we have more that we want to add. Each one of them are doing beautiful work, and that we get to help them. Yep. And one of the pantries that we take food to, they always said the food we bring was their boutique aisle because it's so high quality. Okay. You know, and then the food donors, when I just went out for these last ones, they were like so excited. And we got 5 stars on our surveys and everything. It was like, so it's this great partnership. So I wanted to mention my drivers because we call them food ambassadors because they're not just a driver. Sure. Just they are interacting with both sides and both ends. And so, and they keep us abreast of different things, and it's their personality and their passion for what they're doing too. So it wouldn't happen without everybody and everything.
That's good. Well, you're doing an amazing job.
Thank you.
And I think, it's exciting to see you continue to grow and scale your program, your operation. So we'll make sure to link up information on how people can help. And if you're around afterwards for a couple minutes, I'm sure folks would want to talk to you. And so thank you, Beth. I appreciate your time. Let's give a round of applause for Beth and her work with Saving Grace.
Yeah. Did anyone have any questions at all? Yeah, perfect.
Okay, so I have 2 questions. The first question is, what are you most proud of in the work that you're doing? So I'll let you answer that one, and then I'll follow up with the next one.
I'm actually pretty proud of our community, that they've gotten around it and understand it and want to help. That's probably...
The other question I had was, what are you most excited about in for the future for either your organization or within the space that you're working in?
Well, because there's so much more awareness now, and that's not just us. I think we did help with the starting the narrative about all the excess food that could be used and about the environmental piece because we're kind of half and half. I'm excited to see where it grows and other people that come in with ideas. Even when we go out and present at corporations and stuff, I'm like, there's a lot of great minds out there, you know? How can we take it and make this city even better and keep our young people engaged? Because this matters to everyone at every age, but especially a lot of our young people.
Thank you. Following up with what you just said, how would you suggest that we engage youth and community in this endeavor?
I think to expand this into the school systems at every level, like, you know, I think I saw years ago, even at a junior high, where I think one little girl decided to, I don't know if you guys remember seeing this, and she encouraged me. She had all the milk that they were throwing out. She had them put it all into one tall container just to showcase how much was being thrown away. I think getting these young people involved with different ways that they can help showcase it, and a lot of times they'll take it back home to their parents, right? Because if they're excited about it and they want to do it, you know, so how can we do this at different levels? And then our school systems, that's a big thing, getting cafeterias and both corporate and school cafeterias to come on board. We have some private school cafeterias. We have more and more of the corporate. I just did a presentation for all the Urist at all the big corporate Kiewit. You know, LinkedIn's been donating tons. You know, all these places, all these different cafeterias. So how can we expand on that? But the schools, if they're going to teach the kids, are they doing the same thing, right?
Kind of related to my question, I just wondered how much more food is there out there to rescue?
I think,
like, how many, how much capacity do you have? How many trucks do you need?
Well, that's a good question. Thank you. We do have a lot of students. We have an MBA class right now trying to do some research for us on that right now. Mm-hmm. So I think we're at very minimal. I would say we're under 10% that we're capturing. You know, the part that's kind of in between that we were really talking about, I have a friend donor and stuff like that, but she was at a funeral, and she sent a text late last night, night before, can't remember, it's a blur. Anyway, and she said there's all this food left over, and it was all catered in. And this is where it's being proactive, so being ready for this. But sometimes it's not enough. But people are taking, when they get things, it's always getting these big trays of stuff, right? Once you open that up, you can't do it. So it's ordering smaller trays, keeping it in the refrigerator, keeping it away from people. If you need it, pull it out. So that's part of the education piece, because there's this whole level of places that maybe it's too small for us, and until we have the volunteer group, then maybe there's another layer of us. We were just talking about this today, putting it on our website or on an app or something, of different places that could take it, that they can take it, but making sure they know how to keep it. So I think that's an area that we really can grow. Thank you.
Any other questions? Awesome. Well, one more time, let's give a round of applause for Beth. Thank you so much for joining us. But once again, we do these once a month here in Millwork. And so next month, we'll be hearing from Shauna Dorsey as well, which we're very excited about. Good reactions from the room there. But we're very excited about that, so feel free to hang out for a few minutes. Crossering's open if you want to grab a beer. If you haven't been to Coneflower's new location over here, they are open right around the corner. So don't rush off right away. Hang out in Millwork. It's a good place to be. And thanks so much for coming. Thank you for joining our conversation today. Join us in person the third Wednesday of the month in Millwork Commons for Millwork Conversations presented by Google.